And because it was created by the authority of our spiritual superiors, those who watch over the world, those beings who have been given that responsibility by the Creator, it carries the stamp of the Creator and not the creation. And that means it cannot be destroyed by the will of man. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If something carries the stamp of the Creator, it is. It is present. It belongs to God as much as through our devotions we belong to God. As much as the moment we respond to his call, we belong somewhere to him, consciously. That is what happens when we say yes. When we turn away from the world and begin the journey back to God, we make a commitment, and that commitment is written in the name of God. That is why there is this whole Sufi tradition of the name of God being written in fire in the heart. It's not just a tradition, it happens. People have had experiences of it, of their heart being taken out and the name of God being written in the fire in their heart. That is when he stamps his name into his servant and you know you belong to him beyond life and death. This is serious business, friends. This is about commitment and truth and its effect in the world. We think truth is about winning an argument, about shouting louder than somebody else, having more guns and missiles than somebody else. But where will that truth be in 10 years, in 20 years, in 100 years? Long forgotten or written in children's history books. We know about a different truth. We know about a truth that is forever, that is eternal. And with that truth, with that name of God, we can help the world remember what it has forgotten. And that remembrance will draw humanity back from the brink, because it speaks to the soul of humanity, not to the mind. You can put as many advertisements in the paper as you like. It doesn't make any difference. But everybody has a soul. We just have to learn how to talk to it. And the Creator can talk to his creation. And we are the eyes and ears of God in this world. My servant ceases not to draw nigh unto me with works of devotion until I love him. And when I love him, I become the eyes by which he sees, the ear by which he hears. To be the servant of the Lord, which is the highest title of the Sufi, means we act under the will of the Lord. We do the duty of the Lord. We have the authority of our Lord. Luckily, most of the time we have no idea what we are doing, otherwise the ego would get identified with it, would try to improve the situation, and that is always a disaster. The ego always wants to make it better and then gets in the way. But all of our practices, this is very important to realize, all of our practices, our prayers, our remembrance are so we can be used better. We may think it is so we can get closer to God, but what you realize at the end of that journey is you are always close to God. Or he is close to you, he is nearer to you than yourself to yourself, nearer to you than your jugular vein. But He needs us to help him. Or let us take it out of that concept of duality and place it in oneness. And say, we are part of the spiritual organism of life. Because the moment you are awake, you carry that consciousness. You carry the spiritual consciousness of life. And you have a responsibility to life. To help life become awake, to help life to remember. And this is our contribution. As Sufis, we make a contribution as Sufis, as lovers of God. We make our contribution in the field of remembrance. To help this call come alive in the world that can speak to the hearts of humanity, that can pull humanity back from the brink, back out of the darkness which has engulfed it, out of the clouds of forgetfulness, and all of the greed and all of the power dynamics and all of the desires that engulf so much of the world. It is horrible if you see it from within, if you see how it is gripping, how it is sucking the lifeblood out of the planet, how it is sucking the joy out of the hearts of human beings. It is horrible. It is like a deep depression engulfing a planet. And we have come together to make our contribution. To help the world remember it belongs to God. Because you know in yourself what happens when that note of remembrance strikes, when you hear the call. Something in you opens. If you like, you can call it, say, your heart opens, your spiritual center opens. That's one way of describing it. Another way is just you turn your face from the dark towards the sunlight. And it's a very different world when you turn your face from the dark to the sunlight. You can see things. It's as simple as that. You can see his signs that he has placed on the horizons and in themselves. You see the outer, you see the inner. You begin to see. And when you begin to see, it is obvious how to live. I always say, if the thief knew what his acts of thievery were doing to him, he wouldn't do it. If he knew how he was pulling clouds of darkness over him that could last for many, many, many years, he wouldn't do it. There'd be no reason to do it. Once you are in the sunlight, it is easy. Yes, there are challenges to be faced. But there is a path to follow. And occasionally you glimpse the glory of God, the beauty of God, the tremendous love of God. And you see the signs that are all around. You work in the sunlight rather than in the darkness. That's what happens when you hear the call. And just as it happens to one person, so it can happen to the world, because, as I said before, we are the microcosm. What belongs to the individual human being belongs to the whole world. Now it is said that when we turn to the light, somehow the whole world turns to the light, yes. And when we sweep our own doorstep clean, we are making a valuable contribution to the world, yes. But unfortunately, there are so many other doorsteps, and they are having a very negative effect. So we need to create an enormous vacuum cleaner. We need to start functioning globally. Now remember this simple truth: heaven and earth cannot contain me, but the heart of my devoted servant can. And what does that mean? It means that the heart also contains heaven and earth. The heart is an incredibly powerful organism. It contains the whole world inside of it. And a group of hearts working together through the grace of God can help the world to remember, can help to sweep off the dust of forgetfulness. So that is why we come together, friends, so that through being together, the beloved can use the light of our remembrance to create this song, this call to prayer, which is incredibly human, incredibly ordinary. It is nothing dramatic, because it is the most simple thing that exists. It is said that every cell of creation praises God. Every flower opens to the sun for his sake. There is nothing other than God. And it is the most ordinary human quality to praise God. How we have collectively forgotten that is one of the mysteries of the beloved. How he has veiled himself from himself is a great mystery. How he has covered the world in so much of forgetfulness. Maybe it is to help us to come closer to him, to come to know him better. I don't know. I do know that together we make a contribution. That there is a thread of love that can be woven through all of our hearts, that can use our hearts as a spinning organism of light and laughter and joy. And it has this crazy Sufi twinkle in the eye because it doesn't follow the rules. It is like in simple power dynamics. You know, there are two people confronting each other and they both got boxing gloves on and they're going to have a good fight, and then somebody comes from behind and tickles one of these good fighters. And then he falls down laughing and he's defenseless. That's how Sufis work. Because there is a law that there is always a back door left open. You know it in yourself. That is why Rumi says he comes like a thief in the night. He comes through the back door. He doesn't come through your well-guarded front entrance. Jung said exactly the same thing when he said the sacred, the divine, enters through your undeveloped function, through the part of you that is least developed. So if you are a thinking type, he comes through your feelings. That was why it was so moving for me when the first experiences I had of oneness, they weren't deep in meditation. No, they were where I least expected them, outside in the world, seeing everything was one, seeing that all the leaves on the tree, they were all one. All the flowers, they were different, but they were one. All the faces, they were different, but they were all one. So, we as Sufis have access to the trick book of life. We don't have to play by the rules because we are lovers of God. I wish you knew how simple, how potent it is. We are deceived again and again in our own journey. Yes. And so this power of love can also deceive the world. Can also go by hidden ways to open up the world to love, to laughter, to remembrance. How does it happen? Luckily, we don't have to know. Just as we don't know how it happens to us. We do our devotions, we meditate, we pray, we listen to our dreams, we try to follow the guidance of God. But how does it happen? We don't know. It wasn't until yesterday that I saw this light dancing around the dining room. Again, not in meditation here, no. That wasn't where it was shown. No, it was there in the dining room. I knew that something had changed. I knew something had come alive, that a mystery had taken place. And that is part of being together as Sufis. We are open to mystery. We are open to the miraculous, to the wonder. It uses us. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. How this will work, I don't know. I just know something has happened. I know it has a purpose. I know that purpose does not belong to us because we have already been given it. We don't have to be called to remembrance because we wouldn't be here. The Beloved has already called to us. What we have done with that call is up to us. But this energy is now going out into the world. It's going where it's needed. There are currents of love in the world. There are winds of love. Some close to the earth, some far away from the earth. That take what has been created here where it is needed. And it will speak to people in their own language. Because we speak the language of love, which is the language of the whole of humanity. Because humanity is made of love. And we haven't said it belongs to this faith or this path or this way. No. It belongs to the universe. It belongs to the universal. It belongs to the Beloved. And you can never cut the Beloved into bits. You can never say one bit of the Beloved is better than another bit of the Beloved because we don't have the right. Everything is He. And you know that because you can have mystical experiences in which you see that everything is He. That's what happened to Mrs. Tweedy after Baisab died. She had to go in retreat in the Himalayas because she saw the dog shit on the floor was God. You can't live like that very easily. You go crazy if you're not careful. But everything is He. Everything belongs to God. Every cell of creation belongs to God. And we are part of that oneness. And we are working to help that oneness come alive. Not because we are special, not because we are different, but because we have been asked to do it. Because we have been asked to participate in the awakening of the world. In helping the world come out of this morass of forgetfulness. And we know the power of love in our own hearts. And if we know it in our own hearts, think what it is like in the world. And every moment it is different. We cannot say it will be like this because it is different. Each moment is different. He has said he never reveals himself in the same form twice. And each moment he reveals himself in a different way. And yet the love and the light that belongs to the heart of those who belong to God carries an imprint of his name. And that imprint means it has the authority to work amidst the planes of creation according to the will of God. That is a very simple statement, and it has enormous implications because we are used to things only working in the planes of creation visibly if it is the will of the powerful. And the will of God, friends, is stronger than the will. It's not even stronger, it's so incomparably different. And I think it is a real honor and a real privilege to come together. from different parts of the world, from different parts of the country, from different traditions, to be of service to our beloved. When we go home, whether we take anything with us or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. What matters is we are present for his sake. And you know, whatever I have said, it is not like that. I was just told just now, somebody smiled at me and said, he said, don't sound so pompous. Probably that's my human bit too, maybe it's. It's like somebody just takes the rug from under your feet. Like this nice man who was, I met yesterday, who said when he saw me on, whenever it was, Friday, he said, you were sitting up there like a guru, he said. So we don't do that in this country. I tried to excuse myself by saying we all have a part to play, but he didn't sound convinced. So next year, Clary wanted me to say, there is another conference. Trying to avoid the subject now. Oh dear. Thyself, yes. Reminds me of this story when Mrs. Tweedy caught Bicep lying. Because he was always trying to put her down. And there was something, I think, about chickens. I can't remember what it was, but he said this person had overheard Mrs. Tweedy saying something that was totally untrue. And he was telling her off for saying something that was totally untrue. I can't remember the whole story now. And Mrs. Tweedy happened to know that the person he was referring to didn't speak English and she didn't speak Hindi. So the person that Baisab was referring to couldn't have heard a word that Mrs. Tweedy was talking about. And so being Mrs. Tweedy, she actually said to Baisab, she said, oh. It's not true. Nobody else would dare to say to him. He came from this tradition, as some of you know, where the younger brother doesn't even dare to talk to the elder brother, let alone to talk directly to your sheikh. But Mrs. Tweedy was of a different, didn't follow that code. And she said he didn't say anything, he just looked into his beard and smiled. Waited for the next time to trick her. He was a lawyer, so he was very good at arguing. He always could be three steps ahead. There is a space here for the remembrance of God. That is all we can do. We remember God in our hearts, in our lives, and we give that remembrance to the world because it is needed in the world. The world has forgotten God.